Labors of Love. An informative look at modern-day evangelization, featuring the ministries and work of the Catholic Church in South Texas. Stay with us and learn of the Church's many services and benefits with your host, Margaret Alleria, Director of Evangelization and Catechesis for the Diocese of Corpus Christi, as she explores the Catholic faith with her many guests and their labors of love.
Thank you for being with us on Labors of Love. I'm your host, Margaret Alleria, and I'm here with my guest, Jaime Reyna, who is the youth minister at Nuestra Señora de San Juan de los Lagos, Madre de la Iglesia. How are you, Jaime?
I'm well. Thank you, Margaret.
I've had you on the program before, but you were here as director of youth ministry for the Diocese of Corpus Christi, but you're also a youth minister in one of the parishes, so this is a different perspective that you're going to be offering us this morning.
Yes.
Can you first start with telling me a little bit about yourself?
Well, even though I was born in Detroit, Michigan, I grew up all my life here in Corpus Christi. So I got to know a lot of the priests, a lot of the people who were involved in the church here in the Diocese of Corpus Christi. And I've always grown up in a very Hispanic setting at the parish. And my parish used to be Our Lady of Pilar in Molina. And so I've grown up with the culture of posadas, with the mañanitas to Our Lady of Guadalupe. And so when this little church that used to be Mary Mother of the Church, and it got renamed and it had the pastor, Father Henry Artunduaga, there was a need there. And there were a lot of youth there with that spoke Spanish and English. And so I volunteered to be the youth minister there.
So may I ask, what drives you to be a part of youth ministry? What keeps you going? I had a recent program where we spoke about youth ministry, and I mentioned that it takes a special person to be a part of youth ministry.
In my encounter with people who work with youth, they have a love that they want to share, especially with the youth, because they are our present but also our future. And I think what drives me to work with the youth is the fact that I get to see that share with them that there are other maybe mentors that they could look up to, because nowadays there are other mentors that the youth are looking towards, and they're not Christ-like at times. And so the goal that I see youth ministry and those who are in youth ministers is that they really are trying to be an example to the youth, and the fact that if we can try to live like Christ-like lives, that they can too. And so hopefully that in themselves maybe fosters a little bit of a vocation to either being a youth minister in the future or maybe even to the priesthood or religious life.
So tell me, people have different perspectives on youth ministry. I know there's some guiding documents on youth ministry. We can talk about those later. But what is youth ministry?
Well, there are many different you ask a different person and they'll give you a different answer. But in a nutshell, the ministry is to serve the youth and be able to engage them, educate them, and maybe have them have an experience of Christ in others and in the Eucharist. And sometimes that could be through some fun icebreaker games. Some of that is through praise and worship music. But most of the times it also is a moment to be able to have the youth engage in the Mass and see the Mass the way it truly is, and be able to also put into practice some of the social parts of what the Bible and Jesus tells us to do, is to be able to serve others and to be able to see Christ in others, and so be able to kind of walk the walk with the youth. And so that's what it's youth ministry is, to be able to have them practice what they're learning and what they have been taught for many years.
You know, as you're speaking, I can't help but think about these things, these images that I see on television where young people are bullying older people, or they're bullying each other, and they need someone to go to as well. They need some formation themselves, those that bully other people. But my point is that times are difficult, and you mentioned Christ-like behavior. Times are difficult. It's hard to come by a good mentor. You know, we have teachers in school that try their very best to be good mentors. We have parish staff that, again, wants to be at the support of the family. and youth ministers that are called to be good mentors to these young people so that they can learn that someone loves them, if anything, so that they can learn that God loves them. And just to take them away from the environment of bullying, or at least for them to be aware, like you say, to serve others as opposed to hurting others. So what do you say about that?
Well, you know, you bring up a good point, because the challenges that a youth faces is not the same 20 or 30 years ago. Though there probably are some similarities, there are some differences. And I know the challenges that we have is that in youth ministry, sometimes we as youth ministers meet with them maybe a few hours during the week, but yet they go back to schools or family settings, and maybe the family setting is not a Christ-like environment, or the school is not a Christ-like environment. So youth ministry challenges sometimes is that you only have a few hours with them, but the rest of the hours during the week is somewhere else. And so it's trying to provide the tools, and also to let the youth know that we as the youth group or youth ministry, just people who are linked to the youth group, that we're there as a support system, that we're there to pray for them, that we're always praying for them, but that they could always come back to us with questions. And you bring up another point that's been very popular, is that there's been that bullying, or even sometimes we see on TV the mass murders of, and it's a young person who committed that. A lot of times these kids really just need to know that Christ loves them and someone else loves them. And there's been times where as parents, they think that, well, my kid already knows that I love them. But yet when we have retreats, and in many of the retreats, we ask a parent to write a letter and tell the kids to that they love them. And just to reaffirm that, you should see the transformation on these kids and their eyes. I mean, you can have the biggest football player, and the fact that that little letter from their parent reaffirms that, wow, they do love me. Because sometimes we think we know our kids are going through good times or bad times, but we need to engage and ask them. And a lot of times these people who have come out on TV, you see the parents later and saying, I didn't know that was going on with my kid. And so hopefully it's not a foolproof program where all the youth go into the program and come out. But it is.
With halos on their heads,
exactly,
or anything.
Exactly, with halo.
Yeah.
But it is an opportunity for us to be able to get some of them and be able to hopefully have them know that God loves them, mm-hmm. Christ loves them, and that we, the church, love them. And if anything else, hopefully that will plant the seed, and then they share that Christ love with others.
Well, there's two things that you just said. One is to offer them the tools, because you are correct. We only have 2 to 3 hours with them, and that's only once a week. And if you add it up for the whole year, it's really not much compared to the other environments. And so to be able to offer them some basic knowledge and the tools that they need to be Christ-like to others and to serve others. But additionally, to plant the seed. And I know that in my experiences, sometimes I thought, man, these kids aren't getting it. I used to be a youth minister for quite a few years, and I think, they're not getting it, or their face is not showing that they get it, let's say their body language, but years later they come to me and you know they got it. And what I mean to say is that they got the message. The message went through to them.
Yes, and it makes it even easier for us when parents are involved, and we always provide an opportunity. Youth ministry is never a secret organization. It's always open to all parents and those who are family members involved. And we understand that the more the families involved, the more the families catechize and evangelize. And so we know that there's a greater opportunity for them to continue on in the path that they are learning about and engaged in.
And tell me, Jaime, how is that working in terms of bringing parents on board? Because I know when I was in youth ministry and when I was the youth minister, I didn't have that realization, nor were my parents ever invited to function. So why is that? You mentioned why it's important, but what do the parents get out of being a part of youth ministry? What relationships are being strengthened?
Well, I know in particular at the San Juan Church, we have seen parents get involved. And one of the reasons for that is because we don't have a budget. Our little church has no youth ministry budget, so whatever the parents can donate is what we are able to do. And yet God has blessed us with so many opportunities. Families are willing to give. So one thing is we do have meetings, orientations with the parents so they know what this is, what's coming up. But also the other thing is we let them know that anything they have, maybe there's moms that know how to cook and that's willing how they want to serve. Others who maybe are willing to drive for an event. Some of us are, some of the moms or even dads, we had a retreat in December. Fantastic. We had over 90 youth at this retreat. And I had a couple of dads barbecuing the chicken, you know, while their kids were in a retreat. That was their participation. And at the end, when we came and closed the retreat, I saw tears in some of the parents' eyes because they were a part of something beautiful and special. And that's some of the ways we can get parents involved.
Wow, that just makes me think about how youth ministry can be an evangelization tool to reach the parents.
Yes.
Because formation is a lifelong process. It's not something that kids end in second grade when they receive First Communion. It's not something they end in 10th grade when they receive confirmation. It continues for a lifetime.
Yes, and we have even parents who stay for the youth talk and they say, I stay here because I learn something every time you say something to the kids. I learn something new, too. And so I know that they're both getting the information.
Well, that's good. I'm glad that you mentioned this dynamic of bringing the parents on board. We're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, we're going to talk about the different functions that you have at San Juan Youth Group.
This is Labors of Love.
Put your dancing shoes on for the St. Francis of Assisi Mission Altar Society Dance on Saturday, February 16th. From 8 till midnight, you can dance to the music of George McFarlane and the Starlighters. At intermission, there'll be a live auction as well. Proceeds benefit the Altar Society. The location is the 534 Club on FM 534 at County Road 185 in Lagardo. For complete information, call 361-547-5765.
Thank you for being with us on Labors of Love. Again, I'm here with my guest, Taimirena, and we've been talking about youth ministry. You have dual roles. You're the director of youth ministry for the Diocese of Corpus Christi, and you are a youth minister in a parish here in the diocese. We spoke about youth ministry and getting parents involved and things like that, but I'd like to know, from beginning to end, what is a typical year in your youth ministry program?
Well, our little parish is small, and we don't have any funds other than what the parents donate. So what we do is we actually piggyback on some of the diocesan events. I know, being the youth director at the diocesan level, I already know some of the events that are coming up. So basically what I do is I try to have the youth involved, and maybe this year we're doing the ministry conference and we're doing a push of registration because we're having a speaker from who used to be an NFL football player. And I think with our youth, especially at San Juan, they're very athletic, very sports. I think they definitely want to hear someone who was a former NFL football player to hear about his faith and also how he was athletic and all that. We also, they also have been able to participate in the Rally for Life, which we do every year in January to Austin. And so that is one of those moments where kids at the San Juan Church are able to see a march of thousands of people and be able to ask the questions, oh, this is what it means about standing up and pro-life. And they're there with other youth from the other parishes and from other places in the state of Texas there. And so they really get to look at for all that stuff. Also, because of our traditions, Posadas and Our Lady of Guadalupe Feast Day is something that's very close to a lot of the youth there. So we don't have youth gatherings during those moments, especially in December, because they really are already active and involved with the families at the parish level with that. And so that's some of the things that we do there. One of the things that we also just recently been doing is also in sports during the summer, because at times when school is out, these kids have nothing else to do. And so it was very important for me to be able to offer that opportunity with sports.
So that's something that is new, and it's a success story of that youth ministry. So what do? Do you play sports against another parish? What type of sports do you play?
Yes.
Do they get prizes?
Yeah. Well, one of the things is we just completed our second year of doing it at the church. There's a lot of land, a lot of field. And so what we were able to do is one of the favorite sports that the youth love over there is soccer. And we have some kids who just grew up playing soccer, and we got plenty of field. So we said, let's go ahead and offer and make a little field there. And so we did. And some of the girls there said, well, we want to play volleyball. So we also provide a volleyball. And what we did is we worked together with a couple of parishes and said, well, let's try to see if we can have some other parishes, and we'll do some games and some soccer. So we had the Corpus Christi Cathedral youth group that came and did some games against us. We had Our Lady Pilar Church as well, too, and we had Our Lady Guadalupe that got involved in that. And our first year was very successful in that. The second year when we did that, it was also successful, but when we would only do it for a few weeks, we were about to end it in June. The kids at San Juan loved the sport so much, and the parents did too, that they wanted to continue it even just among themselves. So what ended up having, which is very important that I saw an evangelization opportunity, was parents' family time. Mm-hmm. They were there. Mothers were walking the field. Dads were playing soccer with the kids, spending family time. And we even had houses that are on the field that are like facing us. Kids were watching us, seeing what's going on. And we had some youth that invited them. And we actually had two new youth members because of that interest, that what are they doing there? And we invited them to the game. And from there, we told them we had a youth group. And the next youth group, they were there. So it was wonderful.
I'd like, Jaime, for you to explain the importance of having something like sports in a youth ministry program, because sometimes people think of youth ministry and they might say, okay, they're only going to open a book and read about God, and there's a little more to youth ministry. But why would sports be so important to the development of a youth person, even spiritually?
Well, it's very important because everything we do and say gives glory to God. And so one of the things that we know, youth are interested in sports. We already know that because basketball and football and other things. And when it comes to the youth and engaging in them, we are able to start with prayer right before the game and let them know that not like in the world's eyes where it's all about win, 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 and win at whatever cost. We remind the youth that this is more about sharing our talents and being able to not take scores per se and be able to have everybody participate no matter at what level they're at. And so sometimes the schools put a higher standards, and even though you may love basketball, football, you
value
can't
the
qualify.
Best, and they value the best player.
Correct. Mm-hmm. And they glorify them to a point where it's like, wow. Where here we remind them that when we do it, it is all about giving glory to God. So that's why we always start and end with prayer, and we always make sure everyone is able to participate at whatever level they can. And the fact that families get to participate, we even noticed towards the end that families were eating healthier because they were taking this opportunity as a moment of exercise. And believe me, at Nuestra Señora San Juan, we have a lot of dishes, whether it's Mexican. Yes, we have Mexican foods all the time in our meetings. And the fact that I got to see mothers bringing cucumbers and something healthier to eat, it touched me because they were getting it that I wanted them to be healthier. And so the parents were just really loving it, and they had a fantastic time.
And the thing is, we're not here to put ourselves before the parents or to even put ourselves in the parental role, but just to encourage good eating habits, all for the glory of God. We're made in His image and likeness, and so it's important that we take care of ourselves, to encourage physical activity, because a lot of our young people and even young adults and maybe even adults are starting to get too stationary because of technology and electronics. We don't go and visit a friend, we text a friend. So what
exactly,
would you say about
exactly.
that?
Exactly. And the thing is, we remind the youth because that's where CYO kind of stemmed from many, many years ago.
The Catholic Youth Organization.
It was the idea of getting kids involved in something that was boxing and sports and stuff. And before you know it, it grew at the national level. And there's other dioceses that have the Catholic Youth Organization where they were just getting kids involved. But we also know that, especially down south here, there's a lot of diabetes, a lot of health issues. And when a kid is suffering through those health problems, then it affects them in every other aspect too sometimes. You know, it could bring them down, very sluggish. Maybe, therefore, they're not living a prayerful life at some sort mm-hmm. sometimes.
Concentrating on studies. I mean,
exactly.
a variety of things.
And
it
so
hits.
When they feel healthier, hopefully their concentration, you know, there's probably studies out there that talk about that. And so we want to make sure that there are those opportunities for kids to know that that we're able to, yes, have talks, and yes, we have praise and worship, but we also have sports. And we can do anything that the world provides, but also in a Christ-like manner. That's the difference. And we have technology, you know, we do use Facebook, we do this stuff, but we do it to give glory to God. And so those are the moments where we're hoping youth can see that and say, wow, we can have sports and still honor God.
Jaime, I'd like to ask you if you have a memorable experience of one of your youth, just something that really stuck with you. Maybe you saw them grow from beginning to end, and now they're moving forward with some greater insight. But is there something that that really touched you?
Yeah, actually, I had two. One where my youth group started real small. When I first started there, there were only probably like about 10 that just joined. And then, and to clarify, we have junior high and high school combined together. But when we first started, I had maybe 3 or 4 seniors. And when they graduated out, I had one senior girl who stayed here in Corpus at Christie, and she literally came back to me and said, I love youth group so much. Can I stay? And I said, well, you've graduated. You're over 18. She goes, well, the only way you could stay is if you could be a helper. Then she says, well, I'm not very good, but I like it so much that I would do it. Mm-hmm. So she's in the process of getting her certification so that she would be able to be an assistant. So it made me feel good that we had someone through the youth group, even though it was only 1 year, who now wants to give back and be an assistant to me. And so that's one of the memorable. The other one was when I had a mother who had a difficulty with a young girl, and her grades were falling. She was hanging with the wrong crowd. And ever since we did the sports, this young girl got into volleyball, was doing so well. And now her grades have picked up. She's with a different crowd. She's evangelizing and bringing kids to our movie nights, to our sports events. And she's been one of our most evangelistic person there in bringing people to our church. And so that's been the second thing that I've actually seen. I think, wow, they're getting it.
And I can imagine it really only takes the invitation from you, from their parents, to encourage their child, their son or daughter, to be a part of youth ministry. My experience with youth ministry has been tremendous. And again, times are difficult, and our kids need really good role models, and they are found in youth ministers such as yourself. Jaime, thank you for being with us, and stay tuned. Deacon Nolte and Sacred Moments is up next.
This is Labors of Love, the ministries and evangelization of the Diocese of Corpus Christi. If you have questions or perhaps a comment about today's program, why not send us email? Address your email to labors@klux.org or by U.S. mail, 1200 Lantana, Corpus Christi, Texas, 78407. And now, with this week's Sacred Moment, here is Deacon Stephen Nolte.
At one time or another in life, each of us will experience a form of illness that springs from deep within. This is not an illness of the body, even though we might experience physical symptoms. Nor is it an illness of the mind, although it can also lead to various forms of mental illness. No, this illness goes much deeper, to the core of our being. It may go undetected, unrecognized, or even un- or misdiagnosed. It is an illness of the heart, of love and longing. Its impact is different for each of us, and yet every person will experience it to one degree or another. We often do not consider it to be a legitimate illness, but it is one of the first illnesses suffered by man. It is that condition we call homesickness. Perhaps when you were a child, you remember walking with your father from the car to the house, or you may remember walking next to your mother, holding her hand. Before they were cast out of the Garden of Eden, Adam and Eve had a special friendship with God. At the breezy time of the day, he would come and walk with them. When Adam and Eve were cast out of the garden, they learned what it was to be without the one constant that had always been a part of their existence. They learned what it was to be apart from God. The loss of their friendship with God was marked by a deep longing for that which had been. Likewise, we as growing children begin to move away from our parents, first by going to school, again later when we go to camp or begin a job, and finally when we leave home and strike out on our own to begin life. We experience that same longing. We learn what it is to be apart from our parents. Each of these moments can bring about varying degrees of homesickness, a longing for that place where we feel safe and loved, a desire for our comfort zone. In the story about the prodigal son, Jesus tells about the son who went off and lost his entire inheritance, everything that gave him identity. Coming to his senses, he proceeded to make and carry out a plan to return home to his father's house. Most of us have heard the expression that you can't go back home, that it will never be the same again, and that is true. However, it is only partly true. You can go back home, but it will never be the same again. It will never be the same again, not because it has changed, but because the one returning home has changed. Casting Adam and Eve out of the garden because of their disobedience was a great act of love on the part of God the Father. He allowed Adam and Eve to have a little of what they wanted, and in having it, they realized that they did not want it. Rather, they wanted what they had lost. Ever since then, man has been seeking to regain friendship with God, longing to return home. St. Augustine puts it so well in his cry to God, "My heart is restless until it rests in Thee, O Lord." This is what rests at the heart of homesickness, the desire to be at home, resting in the arms of our Father. May your longings turn your steps toward God, one sacred moment at a time, and may you find your way home to the heart of His love. Amen.
Thank you for being with us at Labors of Love. I'd like to thank my guest, Jaime Reyna, who is the youth minister at Nuestra Señora de San Juan de los Lagos, Madre de la Iglesia. If you would like more information, please contact the church directly, or I would encourage you to inquire at your own parish about any youth ministry opportunities. Thanks again for joining us on Labors of Love.
You've been listening to Labors of Love with Margaret Alleria. Online MP3s of this program are available on the CCN server. Browse to podcasts.goccn.net. Scroll down and select the Labors of Love category. Be with us next week at this same time for another edition of Labors of Love. Labors of Love is a production of the Department of Evangelization, Diocese of Corpus Christi, and CCN, the Catholic Communications Network.